Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And joining us now is Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He is the beat reporter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. There, Jerry, appreciate you for joining us. Thursday night football, Titans on the road at Acrisure Stadium, which I almost got called Heinz Field. I will catch myself doing that a few times.
It's Heinz Field to me. Heinz Field to me.
Jerry, just for a little bit of perspective, what's kind of the vibe? Where are the Pittsburgh Steelers coming into this game on Thursday night?
Well, Caroline, don't worry about the slip up of Heinz Field. We all still do it all the time. it happens frequently here in Pittsburgh. I'll tell you where the Steelers are. The Steelers are a team that doesn't score a lot of points. They hang around like bad in-laws waiting for a break, turnover. But their failure to score points, that hasn't been just this year. You know, 5 to 7 games, they've scored only one touchdown. Go back even to last season. 9 of the last 13 games, they've only scored one touchdown. So, you know, during the offseason, Art Rooney II, the team president, when he was asked, you know, where does the team need to improve in 2023? He didn't even hesitate. His first words were score points, and they still don't. And it's eventually going to cost the offensive coordinator his job unless something drastic happens in this second half of the season. I don't foresee that happening. Their defense, you know, it's not bad. They don't stop the run very well, but they're on the field a lot. Too many three and outs by this football team, especially to start the game, you know, offensively. And so they put their defense in a hole, and they're taking the ball away. But, you know, they're playing from behind. And so, you know, Baltimore handed the Steelers the game. The Rams handed the Steelers the game. To the Steelers' credit, they took it. You know, they were making mistakes and turnovers and stupid decisions, but the Steelers took advantage of it. Now, this past game against Jacksonville, Jacksonville did the same thing, turned the ball over 3 times. But the Steelers couldn't do anything with it. So that's where they are at 4-3. They're probably lucky to be 4-3. It's actually surprising they're 4-3 is what I should say.
Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is with us. And that has been, you know, one big talking point throughout this season is how much the Steelers have struggled offensively. Now, do you expect, if Kenny Pickett is back on Thursday, which I saw he spoke with reporters earlier this week that he did expect to be back Thursday, do you think that could add some, you know, oomph to this offense? Or is it really truly just a Matt Canada problem?
Yeah, well, I think it's several problems because, I mean, Kenny Pickett has not been very sharp except in the second half. I mean, the difference between the first half and the second half with him has been alarming, especially when you look at the first quarter to the fourth quarter. I mean, he's missed open receivers. He looks skittish in the pocket. He hasn't played very well at all in the first half of games. So I don't look at it as him playing is going to be any additional benefit to an offense that has struggled. But, you know, because of the Thursday game, practice is closed to the media today, but I have been told today's practice, even though Kenny Pickett said he will play, and I don't doubt that he will, but I was told that today's practice will determine not so much if he can play, it's more going to be how well can he play, how comfortable can he play. But I do expect him to start the game, but I'm not going to sit here and rubber stamp it.
Now, Jerry, you know, one thing, you know, I know about the Pittsburgh Steelers up until this year was they were not going to allow you to run the football. That's one thing that they were not going to do, and they did a damn good job at it. But this year is different. They're giving up over 100 yards per game rushing, but they do get Cam Hayward back. Will that make a difference? I know Micah Fitzpatrick is out possibly. But will Cam coming back have a big difference on their run-stopping ability?
Yeah, Cam is not won't be back until next week's game at the earliest, and that's been the timetable all along. I do expect him back. November 12th, they play the Packers. Mm-hmm. There's no question he'll help. You know, they made big strides last year to improve their run defense. I think they finished 10th in the league. And I go back, you know, to your point about one thing you always know. James Ferrier once told me, he goes, look, if we want to stop the run, we'll stop the run. And that was always their mentality. But, you know, there's a number of factors in play. I know they've been playing that 34 defense for a long time. But the difference is their base is the 34, but they're in their dime. They're in their nickel and dime 70 to 75% of the time. And when you're only using two down linemen, that's putting a lot of pressure on your inside backers. And teams, I mean, I don't know how you stop the run playing a nickel defense, you know, with two down linemen. So stop it on a consistent basis. And that's the problem that they face. And so what we have seen in these games where teams start to run the ball, I mean, the Rams had a patchwork running game, and they ran for 135 on them the other day, 2 weeks ago. And so we've seen the Steelers on occasion put a four-man front up there. They're not switching their defense to a 4-3 by any stretch, but they've had to do different things to try and stop the run because they have failed to do that. And when they talk about the Steelers wanting to be a great defense or an elite defense, well, that's never going to be until they stop the run. And they've struggled to do it. And of course, we're so used to seeing here them do that, you know, historically, annually, on a regular basis, but not so much the last 3 years. A little better last year, not so good this year.
And now on the flip side of that, running a football, Najee Harris is obviously, he's shown he's one of the best backs in the National Football League, but it just hasn't shown this season. They're not even averaging over 100 yards, I believe, per game. Is it so much so the running back, which I can't believe it is, or is it the offensive line, or is it the play caller?
Well, you know as well as me, it's not just one or the other. Mm-hmm. It's not the back. It's not just the offensive line. Najee's been – he's kind of run in differently this year. And last year what happened is when they started playing Jaylen Warren, and Jaylen Warren is a downhill, see-it, hit-it type of runner. And he was hitting holes and gaining yards, whereas not when Najee was struggling. And so whether he saw it or was pointed out to him or decided this is what, you know, no, he was bothered by a foot injury for the first half of last year. Second half of last year, Najee was just hitting that hole and going. And with the exception of a few instances this year, he hasn't been doing that. The Rams game, he ran with determination. He got that ball and he hit that hole. The other day against Jacksonville, not, you know, entirely different. 7 carries, 13 yards, and very tentative going up to the line of scrimmage. So, you know, are the holes there and he's not hitting them, or are they not there and he's running into a brick wall? Whatever it is, you know, he's had problems running the ball, and they have not run it on a consistent basis. I'll go back a couple weeks ago to that Rams game. You know, they had 80-some yards, but 54 were in the fourth quarter. They ran the ball, you know, 4 yards, 6 yards, 5 yards, 7 yards, the way you want to run the ball in the fourth quarter, and it worked. So that gave them hope that, okay, maybe that was a positive step forward, and then they come up against Jacksonville and just literally hit the wall running the football.
Now, Jerry, before I pass it over to Willie, this has to be frustrating to Mike Tomlin, because on both hands, you're not stopping the run, and we can't run the ball effectively. That has to be something that Mike Tomlin is just going bananas over.
Absolutely, because that's probably, you know, if you know, his DNA as a coach is built on doing both. And that they don't, yeah, it probably is. You know, this past year, you know, their offensive line last year was the most improved unit on the team. And then they go out and sign two guys in free agency, Isaac Seumalo and Nate Herbig as a backup, and they draft Broderick Jones. And it became apparent what their mindset was going to be, and that's run the football with big people, improve an offensive line, that played every snap, started every game last year and was pretty good. And so, but the opposite has happened. Not that they've gotten worse, but you don't see the dramatic improvement. And that was a big focus this year, not to become run-oriented, but to run the ball better and take the pressure off, you know, your young quarterback. And it really hasn't happened. And so, yeah, that part of it is frustrating more than just to Mike Tomlin. That's organizationally, it's been frustrating. And yeah, defensively, you know, you're never going to choke a team down until you stop the run and make them one dimensional and get after them with your two outside edge guys who are as good as a combo as there is in the league.
Post Gazette, Jerry, we're watching Will Levis now get his chance here for a team that's trying to remain competitive while throwing a young quarterback in. At least that's where they're going as of last Sunday. You know, that there are quarterbacks who come into the league and they're thrown in there with a team in a full rebuild. Kenny Pickett is sort of closer to Levis, right? Last year, he was a rookie quarterback on a team that was trying to win. What's your big picture outlook for Pickett at this point?
Well, I've always thought, first of all, I'll go back to last year, and when I look at what prior to last season, when I look at what the Steelers needed, to me, based on where they were, I didn't think they needed to take a quarterback in the first round, especially after they wasted little time in free agency signing Mitch Trubisky. But okay, you took him, and that's fine. But I think Kenny Pickett is a good quarterback. I think he is a guy who could win. But, you know, you saw him in a class with your guy, Malik Willis, and everybody thought it was a weak class and that Kenny Pickett maybe was the best. And there was some debate that maybe Malik Willis would be the first quarterback pick. Well, he lasted to the third round, which should tell you something about the strength of that quarterback class. So I think Kenny Pickett is a nice quarterback who can win games with. I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I don't think he's those, quote, franchise quarterbacks that's going to take a team to the Super Bowl. But I think he's a nice young quarterback. And they can win with him. But he started 19 games now. I mean, he's just early into his second season, really. And he makes mistakes, and of course he's going to. But we've also seen him orchestrate game-winning drives, three of them in the last minute here in the last 10 games. And he has shown that ability to rise to the occasion when they've needed it in the fourth quarter. And that has been his greatest quality.
Jerry, we're looking at Will Levis and we're saying, wow, that was really eye popping on Sunday. But now you're saying, okay, let's take a look at it Thursday night in Pittsburgh against a Steeler defense. And it kind of gives you the creeps. You say, wow, what is Pittsburgh's history playing against very young quarterbacks? Have they had a lot of success?
Well, I will tell you that when Dick LeBeau was here, I mean, his record against rookie quarterbacks was ridiculous. Like, I can't remember, but I want to say it was like 19-1 or 20-2 or something like that, 18-3. And because he just dialed up different looks and got after them and confused them. I can't sit here and tell you that the same exists. So I don't think it's any one thing. I don't think they have the types of players in the secondary, especially without Minkah Fitzpatrick, who were going to give a young quarterback fits, but that's what they will try to do. And I would be shocked if they didn't try and get after him too. But, you know, teams are paying a lot of attention to T.J. Watt. The last two games, we've seen not only double teams, but triple team on T.J. Watt. They don't want him to influence or wreck the game because he does do that all by himself. So I'm not exactly sure which it's going to be. I mean, I don't really think it can be both. But I don't know that their record against younger quarterbacks has been anything, you know, like it used to be under Dick LeBeau. I will say this about Will Levis being a Penn State guy. and seeing where he was when he transferred to Kentucky. I thought Will Levis was Taysom Hill, and I didn't think he was a first-round quarterback. Well, I mean, I know all about the strength of his arm, but after what I saw last week, he looks like a first-round quarterback, doesn't he?
We're hoping he continues
He's looking pretty good. Hey, Jerry, let me sneak one in. Now that you mentioned Penn State, James Franklin, me being a Vanderbilt guy, I watched every game, and he did some pretty remarkable things. And you can see what they were doing before him and after him, and you say, wow. So I'm just curious where you think he's got Penn State now. I know the perception, like he's beating literally everybody except for two programs. Right. So can he bust through and get to that next level that I know how badly – if I know one thing about him, is how much drive he has to get to the top. So do you think he could get to that next step?
Well, there's no question he has built the program back to an elite level, but not that ultimate elite level where, he has to get out of the Big Ten and not only beat those two teams, but start beating some ranked teams. And his record against ranked teams and top 10 teams is abysmal. And so that's what's frustrating to Penn State fans. He does a wonderful job recruiting. You see they have top-tier talent that goes to the NFL, maybe not like Alabama, but they got them and they send them. But it's frustrating that they just can't get past Ohio State and or Michigan. And, they have a chance now. If they would lose to Ohio State and now beat Michigan, that would be better than the opposite, that if they beat Ohio State and lost to Michigan, because when the loss will have occurred, you're better off losing early and winning late if you want to get in the playoff picture. But I think that's what's frustrating, obviously, to Penn State fans. 11-2, you could be 11-2, but yeah, we lost to Ohio State and Michigan is the way they feel. And until that happens, we've seen Ohio State coaches lose their job because they can't beat Michigan. And I don't know that would happen at Penn State. That will always be the knock against him until he's able to do it. And I'm not so sure he's going to be able to do it with a 19-year-old quarterback against Michigan.
Are they changing the signals just to make sure? I'm just kidding. I mean, that is – D-Mace is a Michigan State guy. I'm really curious. You're in Big Ten country, what they think. Well, I saw that article in The Athletic. They polled a lot of coaches, unnamed coaches. It does sound like they want to see some significant sanctions here.
Well, I agree because, you're just acknowledging that you're cheating. And by saying, well, everybody steals signals, yeah, they steal signals. Everybody's trying to gain an edge in the game. They hear something called out. But when you go to the lengths that they went to it's the same thing Bill Belichick did, with taping games and practices and whatever the heck he was doing. Yeah, you're blatantly cheating, openly cheating, and you're endorsing it, and that's the biggest crime. And so, yeah, I would think they would come down hard on them. I loved Harbaugh's Jim Harbaugh's explanation that, yeah, we did it, but everybody does it to some degree. We're all trying to gain an edge. Well, I don't think it's as simple as that. But I would think a lot of coaches would probably want to see them. See the NCAA or somebody, the Big Ten, come down hard on them because probably a lot of coaches, being around college basketball, college football, NFL football, but especially the college game, there's so much paranoia and everybody's accusing the other guy of cheating. I get all that, and probably a lot of them are. But I think when you go to those levels, and maybe the crime is not that they did it, maybe the crime is that they got caught. But whatever it is, they got caught and they did it. And it was blatant. And yeah, I think I don't think it should be ignored. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, the old, everybody else doesn't, isn't necessarily the best defense.
Not like
of
that.
You and your
That's
program.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Not, That's right.
Nobody else does it like that, at least that we know of. Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, appreciate you for joining us, Jerry. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Nice chatting with y'all.
Same here.
All right, yeah, to meet with you. Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He does great work covering the Pittsburgh Steelers and Penn State. But coming up next, I want to get into what we learned from Jerry, some injury updates, how that might shift our perspective of this matchup with the Titans on Thursday Night Football. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, hey, tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will kick off at 3 o'clock at home against Auburn with pregame beginning at 1:30. p.m. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com.
Yeah, well, I think it's several problems because, I mean, Kenny Pickett has not been very sharp except in the second half. I mean, the difference between the first half and the second half with him has been alarming, especially when you look at the first quarter to the fourth quarter. I mean, he's missed open receivers. He looks skittish in the pocket. He hasn't played very well at all in the first half of games. So I don't look at it as him playing is going to be any additional benefit to an offense that has struggled. But, you know, because of the Thursday game, practice is closed to the media today. But I have been told today's practice, even though Kenny Pickett said he will play, and I don't doubt that he will, but I was told that today's practice will determine not so much if he can play. It's more going to be how well can he play.
That was Jerry Dulac, who covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And when I saw the Steelers injury report yesterday, I thought, uh-oh. Kenny Pickett was at least limited in practice today. And then their defensive lineman, Cam Hayward, was a full go. He's been out pretty much a majority of the season with a groin injury. He underwent surgery after week one. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, rookie quarterback, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward. In a Pittsburgh Steelers offense that, like Jerry mentioned, has been struggling, whether it's with Kenny Pickett or not Kenny Pickett, it's still getting your starting quarterback into the mix, which is, you know, a little bit more intimidating than taking on, you know, Mitch Trubisky. Mm-hmm. Honestly, and I know that, you know, the market that covers the team might be a little bit more critical, might look into it a little bit more. But honestly, hearing from Jerry about the Kenny Pickett updates and then hearing from Jerry that Cam Hayward likely will not be available this Thursday, we can probably see him be back for the Pittsburgh Steelers next game against Green Bay, makes me feel a little bit better after being a little bit scared about that injury report yesterday.
Yeah, it does. I meant to ask him about Dante Johnson, who's their other big-time receiver. It seems like he's either back this game or he's on his way back sort of around the time Cam Hayward comes back, which would mean the next game for them. But if they can add another weapon for Kenny Pickett, I'm sure he would welcome that with open arms. He's right. I just looked at Kenny Pickett's numbers from the first half to the second half, and they are vastly different. He's completing close to 70% of his passes in the second half, whereas in the first half, he's abysmal. Like, he's like 50-something percent. He's not completing anything, really.
Which is crazy, yeah. Because he's got George Pickens, like you said, Deontay Johnson, and really during preseason at least, which I know, it's preseason, I get it. Kenny Pickett looked unstoppable.
Yeah, he did. So he's what we've seen before. We've seen this sort of script before. You know, here in town, whereas the Titans were a really good first half team, and for some reason, the second half, they just fell off the map. Well, if you look at Pittsburgh and Kenny Pickens, he doesn't start fast, but it seems like those next two quarters after halftime, he's a different quarterback. For what reason, I don't know, but it seems like this season, that's his MO, that first half, if you're going to get him, you better get him in the first half. And then the second half, for some reason, he picks his game up. So, you know, the Titans just got to make him a no-half guy. You know, a guy that doesn't do anything in the first half and then equally as amount in the second half. So if they can do that, then, you know, they got an opportunity of winning his game.
Well, in the no-half thing, I'm gonna give you what could be construed as a hot take, maybe not boiling hot, but after watching what happened last week, is it not possible, if not probable, that Trubisky, healthy, is better than a hurting Kenny Pickett, who's got a rib problem and probably going to have to numb it, play through some pain, deal with that. He said it affects his throws a little bit. Like, I'm almost hoping that Pickett plays hurt. I think that would be a better scenario for the Titans than a healthy Trubisky. That's kind of scary to say, but like Trubisky has been underwhelming and a disappointment because he was such a high first-round pick, but he's not awful, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at his career numbers, they're not that bad. He's 31-24 as a starter, 64% completion, 69 touchdowns, 45 interceptions. It's not like he's incapable of playing a good game. So
he's a serviceable backup.
Yes, I'm actually hoping that Pickett plays for the Titans' sake.
Well, I think there is something to that whole rib injury, because if you look at just by quarter, he gets better each quarter of the game. So maybe the slow start is him warming himself up, the rib up and everything else, and then, you know, he gets into the second quarter, leading over to the third and the fourth, where he's warm now. He can, you know, he doesn't have to think about the injury because now his body's warm. He's they're drilling and it's going. So there may be something to that, you know, the whole rib injury, and it does affect him with throwing
and
the ball.
Based on what Jerry said, Derek, with the situation, I don't think it's clear that I mean, you can say you're going to play all you want, but the coach decides. Like, I think there's a scenario where Pickett doesn't even play or backs up and they just start Trubisky.
Yeah, I mean, Mitch Trubisky last week against the Jags, 15 of 27, 138 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. I wouldn't mind taking.
Well, that was in a really that was bad weather and coming off the bench, not prepared as a starter. I think since then, you know, if you're preparing him secretly to be the starter, I think he probably has a little better chance of putting up better numbers than that. But let's not forget that Pickett has terrible numbers himself. His numbers are bad. They're just above Ryan Tannehill's number. It's a struggling offense with no running game. So whichever one they put in there is not in a great position. I'm just saying, given the two choices, I think if I'm Mike Tomlin, Trubisky might be the better choice.
I mean, this offense is just bad.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's bad.
The Titans have to make them look bad to win this game. That's the key. I want to see the Titans' ferocious defense that they have looked at times, especially at home. If they can take that on the road, that's what's got to happen in this game. And if they do that and get to 4-4, it's kind of like, okay, halfway through the season, what do we got here?
That's the thing that kind of lingers in my mind for me. Is how bad this team has looked on the road. And in the beginning of the season,
they made the Browns offense look pretty good, which is saying something.
You know, Christian Fulton was probably MVP of the Cleveland offense that day. And, you know, I was so reluctant to say, and I still am, to say that this is a good home team and a bad road team. But it's hard to not look at what the Titans have done so far this season and not think that. Because they don't just, you know, they don't just have their bumps and bruises on the road. Like, they're bad on the road. Excited to see what Will Levis will look like. Short week on the road. Tough environment. Probably going to be pretty cold. And also what this defense can do against an offense that really is struggling. Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, whoever it's going to be. Can we see a day from Jeffrey Simmons like we saw last week against the Falcons? Rather, first half against the Falcons. I mean, this is an opportunity, I think, for a big confidence building win. And I'm not making my official prediction for the game. We'll do that tomorrow. We'll get a little bit deeper into this matchup tomorrow, but just based off of what Jerry was saying and how much this offense really has struggled. I mean, I looked at this morning, Jerry did a mailbag with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He probably went over like 8 to 10 questions. Maybe 4 of those were about, hey, Jerry, when are we going to fire the offensive coordinator? Like, hey, Jerry, Las Vegas just fired their coach. Why can't we fire our offensive coordinator? Like, it's that bad that that's really, you know, the forefront of a lot of the Pittsburgh Steeler conversations happening in Pittsburgh is the offense stinks and we want Matt Canada out of here. This feels like a really good confidence-building opportunity for the Titans.
Yeah, it does. This is a chance for this team who has their own, you know, we have our own problems here. But if you can, you know, travel up north and, you know, compound Pittsburgh's problems, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there, I think Pittsburgh is, from the outside looking in, they may be in a worse position than the Tennessee Titans are. From this standpoint, there are players, I mean, because they have, it's like they have all these weapons, these young weapons, but they're not, because of the quarterback, they're not getting anything out of them. Because of the offensive coordinator, they're not getting anything out of them. They're not running the ball effectively. You look at the Titans, well, we know what their problems are. We know what the problems are. Their offensive line, that's the first problem. But they're still able to run the football somehow, some way. They're still able to, you know, get big plays in the offense. There's no one's questioning their offensive coordinator. Whereas Pittsburgh, they're questioning their offensive coordinator. They're questioning, really, their quarterback. Is he the guy moving forward? Are they questioning, you know, the run game? Is it Najee Harris, or is it the offensive line, or is it the play caller? So, and then on the defensive side of the ball, they are, you know, they're beat up. They're questioning the secondary. From a run standpoint, this is a team known for stopping the run. They haven't been able to stop the run all season. So, to me, the Titans, it's not like, you know, they're in a much better place than Pittsburgh, but I think they're in a spot where they know what they are, who they are, and how they got to win games. I don't know if Pittsburgh understands, because of the problems that they have, how to win games or who they are as a team. We know who they are as an organization and want to be as an organization, but are they that as a team this year?
It's an interesting thought. Because the difference is, you know, do the Steelers think they have their guy at quarterback moving forward? Well, did the Titans? I think you think.
Yeah. You hope.
And at least Pittsburgh has those young pieces offensively. Mm-hmm. Like, Najee Harris is on a rookie contract. Mm-hmm. George Pickens is on a rookie contract. You have your young core moving forward.
But I'm saying, like now, right now, this game. I think the Titans feel a little bit better about themselves, considering what their quarterback did last week. The defense being able to get to the passer, get some turnovers. Now Pittsburgh is getting turnovers, but as we sit right now, they're not doing much with those turnovers, and the offense is mediocre at best. You know, and again, even though the Titans are not there, middle of the road, maybe below that team, they still are able to run the football more times than not. Pittsburgh hadn't been able to run the football at all. You know, and both teams are built on running the football. That's how they control the game. Everything feeds off of whether they can run the football or not. And it seems like Pittsburgh hasn't been able to do that.
Really intriguing matchup. Really intriguing matchup. And just when this reminds me so much of going into the Cleveland game, because I was thinking, all right, beat Cleveland at their own. This is a classic Titans grinder. They can out grind the opponent on the road. And it was a disaster in Cleveland. It was anything but that. I'm trying to battle in my mind, right? Are we going to see a classic Vrabel grinder? And can they outgrind the Steelers, who look like they're very gettable right now? But this Titans team has not played a good game on the road yet. And so I'm hesitant to jump out there. But there's a lot about this matchup that I like because of what you just pointed out.
The road element of it all does concern me.
Yeah.
I mean, Titans haven't looked good on the road. Like, not even a resemblance not of even looking close. Good on the road at all this season. No. And you're going into Pittsburgh, which isn't necessarily like frou-frou land, easy place to play. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your thoughts on that. Plus, coming up next, what if the Titans win tomorrow night? Like, what if the Titans come out of this week 4-4? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game.
What do you say is the biggest challenge in such a quick turnaround against a defense like the Steelers?
I'm assuming that you said the short turnaround. Just, you know, it's a new opponent. You know, I mean, it's everything is just sped up, and you know, we've talked about what it is physically, but just the mental preparation that goes on to, you know, a new opponent, new scheme, new players that they have to learn. So I think that's a challenge as well.
Hey, tomorrow it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. So you heard Mike Vrabel there. We know Thursday night football is hard. Short week is hard. Going to Pittsburgh is hard. And we know that in Thursday night football, typically the home team is favored. Typically it's much more difficult, especially on a short week, to travel. But my question for you guys, what if the Titans win? Like, what if they go to Pittsburgh on a short week, beat the Steelers, and albeit this is not the big bad boy Steelers that we maybe have known of the past. This is a Steelers team. We chatted with Jerry Dulac earlier this hour of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and he highlighted it. This team is struggling, offensively especially. But if the Titans win, they're 4-4, second place in the division. Yeah, you'd still be two games back behind the Jags. Yeah, the Jags have won five games in a row. But how much would it change your perspective of this team?
I think it changes it. You know, Willie gave the numbers earlier. There are, 11, 12 teams that are either 4-3, 3-4, somewhere around there.
And 11 teams that are either 4-3, 4-4, or 3-4.
Exactly.
There's 4-4-3s, 3-4-4s. And 4-3-4s.
Exactly.
Say that five times fast.
So you're in the lottery numbers, Willie.
So you win this game, you put yourself back in the race for a playoff spot. Because if you're looking at, you know, Cleveland got Arizona this week. Now you figure Cleveland can win that game, but you never know. And I'm just talking about within the AFC. Houston has Tampa. And Houston's sitting at 3-4. So these teams, if you beat Pittsburgh, now you have the tiebreaker with Pittsburgh, and you both sit 4-4 in the division. And somebody's got to win versus Miami and Kansas City. Now, I know the Titans are not Miami or Kansas City, but one of those teams will go to 6-3. And now you feel a little bit better about your team and yourself moving forward, because now you're a game and a half off of that playoff spot. And again, this is where everyone starts to jockey for position in the playoffs starting this week and moving forward. So if the Titans can get this win, again, I don't care how the win looks. If they can get it and they see progression in the quarterback, they have to feel good about where they sit, you know, with nine more games. Well, yeah, I think it would be nine more games after tomorrow night.
Of the 11 teams that are in that group, 4-3, 4-4, 3-4, the worst team as far as point differential is the Steelers by far, minus 34. They've been drubbed twice, once by the 49ers on opening day, and once by the Texans, surprisingly, right? But, point differential doesn't tell you the whole story, but it does tell you a little bit, right? It does kind of tell you that there is a huge difference sometimes in a team that's 4-3 and a team that's 3-4. And that's crazy to say. But, of that group, do we think the Bengals are figuring it out? Yeah, I think they're figuring it out. They're in that group. So are they going to separate? I think yes. But every year, somebody's got to emerge from that group. This is nothing new for the NFL. There's always going to be a huge group of teams in the middle. Can the Titans be the best of the middle? That's how I would answer your question, Caroline. If you get to 4-4, then I think you're kind of back to that original goal of the season is, can you be on the front side of the middle, sneak into the playoffs, and maybe have a great moment where you say we want a playoff game?
That's kind of where I am at. Mm-hmm. Is 4-4 at least brings you back into the conversation. Mm-hmm. Sitting at 2-4,
right.
It was like, well, I mean, we're just going to crawl to the end of the season because, my goodness, there's not a lot to look forward to. 4-4, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Second place in the division. Now, granted, Jacksonville looks really good.
Well,
you'd probably have to sweep Jacksonville. And those Texans games, and I know, they're the Texans.
They got to sweep the Texans,
They got to sweep the Texans, too. And they that doesn't look like it's going to necessarily be the easiest walk in the park. Because mm-hmm. the Texans now don't look like maybe the easier to beat Texans of the last couple of years. So they've got the most important games on their schedule ahead of them. Two against the Jags, two against the Texans, and you got to win one against the Colts. So it doesn't make me feel like, all right, work here is done. Titans are going to win the Super Bowl, or the Titans are a lock to make the playoffs. But it at least makes me feel better. Because in order
to... We won't be talking about the draft. I know Caroline does not want to talk about the draft until February.
No more draft talk. The obsession with draft picks in this city. I mean, it is astonishing. But in another thing, because not just the playoff outlook, not just the division outlook, but if you win this weekend, that shows me that Will Levis was able to do enough. That the defense showed up on the road and that the defense was able to do a little bit more. That maybe Jeffrey Simmons showed up like he did this past week. Maybe they weren't shooting themselves in the foot with turnovers or dumb penalties like we've seen this team commit, especially defensively on the road. That maybe you're starting to clean a couple things up, that maybe you can finally get that road bugaboo off your back and the team will be coming into form. And again, Pittsburgh is not a Super Bowl contender. You know, it's not the big bad Steelers that beating this team isn't like, whoa, well, if you can beat the Steelers, then who can't you beat? That's not the case. It would at least give me a little bit more hope and optimism at 4-4 than we would see at 3-5 or 2-4.
Yeah, they have to find a way. It started last week, but they have to find a way to allow this to continue, to keep themselves in the playoff conversation. You don't want to slip too far behind because, you know, even teams like we laughed at Denver a few weeks ago. But if Denver wins this week, they're still pretty much in the picture to get a playoff
spot.
They
think they are.
They think they are.
Sean Payton would say, "We're not trading anybody."
Sean Payton says that.
Yeah, but but
well,
even,
I mean, when you beat the Chiefs pretty soundly,
you feel
you're
good
like,
about yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Not quite the flu game that Patrick Mahomes was looking for.
Yeah, so you know, even teams like that that are still in a hunt, the whole AFC North is still in a hunt for a playoff spot. So if you can pick up a win this week, tomorrow, you feel good about your chances moving forward. If the quarterback continues, which I believe he will, he's going to have his setbacks, I get it, but I believe he will continue to show why he deserves to be the future of this franchise. So if you can just continue to, you know, I don't care how the wins look, if you continue to pull them out, then you keep yourself in a conversation. We said last week, cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm. I'm still cautiously optimistic about what this team can do moving forward.
Cautiously optimistic after one win.
Uh-huh.
We have not seen this team win two in a row in a long time. Can you imagine the giddiness of winning two in a row? Good grief.
That's how important one game is in the National Football League. Is last week we were talking about draft picks. Now we're talking about playoffs. Football's crazy. Don't you dare rush me out of here, Jared Stillman. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman and Company's up next.
Be love and love on your people. Peace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.